The Lux Radio Theater, usually heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its customary summer vacation. Lux Radio Theater will return to CBS 7 weeks from now on August 27th. Now, from Hollywood, Romance.
Romance, bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love, all strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, we take you to the blue waters of the Caribbean and a tropical island ruled by a beautiful woman, as Anthony Ellis tells it in his unusual love story, The Sword and the Knitting Needle.
I found out why February and March are the best months in the Bahamas. Because when I got there, it was July. Nassau was baking in 96 degrees after a hurricane which I'd been lucky enough to miss. I located the office I was looking for and went in. It wasn't any cooler inside, but at least there was no sun. Only a very fat gentleman, very hot and very English, fanning himself with a big manila envelope.
How do you do, sir?
You, Mr. Stewart?
No, no, my dear fellow. I'm Mr. Watling. Mr. Stewart is his junior partner. Mr. Minges is our America partner. Watling, Minges, and Stewart. Stewart, small print. You see?
Yeah. Oh, my name's Dowd, Daniel Dowd. Now, Mr. Minges...
Oh, of course, yes. Yes, Mr. Minges wired to me that you were on your way. Do sit down.
Thanks.
I trusted you had a pleasant trip from Miami.
Yes, fine, thanks.
Where did I put that? Yes, here it is. Now, sir, I assume that Mr. Minges told you nothing.
Nothing. Gave me a check for $1,000 and said you'd take care of me here.
Exactly. Now, sir, let me see. You have a boat, diving equipment, and a crew of 5.
That's it. What's the job?
Ah, that is the point, Mr. Dowd. That is the point. I haven't the foggiest notion. Not the foggiest.
Are you kidding?
Allow me. I am a solicitor. I represent the interest here in Nassau of Miss Elizabeth Linden. Now, as you know, Mr. Minges...
I know about Mr. Minges. Please, go on.
Miss Linden owns an island some 100 miles southeast of here, Amos Island. It's exactly here on the map. See? Amos Island.
Uh-huh.
Now, Miss Linden instructed me to instruct Mr. Minges in Miami to hire an expert diver and crew to go to Amos Island. Now, you are an expert diver, Mr. Down.
I make a living.
Exactly. Now, sir, did Mr. Minges inform you as to the amount for the task?
No, how could he? He didn't know what was to be done.
Yes, of course. And neither do I. Miss Linden didn't see fit to confide in me. However, shall we say an additional $1,500 to be paid at the conclusion of your work?
Let's say $1,500 now, and I'll let you know if it's going to be more when I find out what the job is.
Well, I'm not sure if Mr. Minges...
Look, Mr. Minges said as far as he was concerned, the whole thing
yes,
was a lot...
Yes, Mr. Minges and Miss Linden do not exactly see eye to eye. I agree to your terms, Mr. Down.
Okay. When do you want me to leave?
As soon as possible. Miss Linden doesn't like to be kept waiting.
All right.
Mr. Dowd, you may find Miss Linden a trifle strange.
Nuts?
Oh, good heavens, no. No, willful, perhaps. Yes. She's immensely wealthy.
Oh, sure, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I don't think so, but you may. Well, bon voyage, Mr. Dowd. Please give my...
You forgot something, Mr. Watling.
Huh?
$1,500. Now.
Oh, by Jove. By Jove, so I did. By Jove.
We got out of the harbor that afternoon, and I set the course for Amos Island. The sea was easy in the night. I took my turn at the wheel and listened to Cookie telling the stars about his troubles. Except for Cookie, I'd taken on a scrap crew in Miami. There was Jack Millard, he'd done some diving, Pigeon Ailer, and Ed Brown. I didn't know much about them, but, well, it was a crew. We sighted Amos Island the next morning at dawn, and a couple of hours later dropped the hook at the east end.
Kind of pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, good protection here. We ought to be snug. Naylor!
Yeah?
Put the dinghy over. I'm going ashore.
Okay.
Want me to come along?
Yeah, if you want.
Oh, sure.
Hey! Looks like you got a visitor.
Now hold the dinghy.
Yeah. Heading out from the jetty. Looks like a dame.
I get the ladder over, will you?
Hey, fellas! Female pipe!
Come on, Jack, the ladder.
Okay.
A couple of minutes later, she tied up alongside and came aboard. I remember thinking then that it was funny, those two West Indian boys who stayed in the launch. They wore what looked like a kind of uniform. But I forgot about them when she came on deck. I guess you could forget about anything with her around.
Mr. Dowd, I'm Elizabeth Linden. Mr. Watling radioed me you were coming. I expected you sooner.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. We hit foul weather out of Miami.
Before you go ashore, I'd like to speak to you. In your cabin, please.
Okay. Now, watch your head.
Close the door.
It's hot.
Isn't it? The door, please. You may sit down, Mr. Dowd.
Thanks.
Before I tell you about the job, I think that we'd better understand each other.
Well, it's all right with me.
First of all, I own this island.
Now, that's what I was told.
I own it, Mr. Dowd. The way you own your boat. When you're at sea, you are the sole government, captain, king, dictator. Is that correct?
If you want to put it that way.
I do. On my island, it's exactly the same. When you and your crew set foot on it, I wish it clearly understood that I am the government. There are no men in command.
Sure, okay.
Don't humor me, Mr. Dowd. I bought this island because I had to find a place where man almighty wouldn't botch things up. Where a woman could have some respect. And not by having babies or washing dishes, darning socks, scrubbing floors, cooking, sewing, changing...
No, I'm not arguing.
I'm glad. That'll make it easier. The job will necessitate your living on the island. Inform your crew that if there is any trouble, I shall have them locked up. I have a police force for just such emergencies.
There won't be any trouble.
You and your men will be confined to your quarters, except when you're working. This island is peaceful and happy. It's going to stay that way.
Miss Linden, what's the job?
There is a deep lagoon on the other side of the island. One of my fishermen discovered an old ship lying on the bottom. I sent a boy down to investigate. He said there was a large bell on the deck. He couldn't stay down long enough to dislodge it.
You brought me out here to raise a bell?
Yes.
That's all?
Yes.
You expect me to believe that?
What you believe or disbelieve, Mr. Dowd, is really no concern of mine.
A bell?
A bell.
Okay. Okay, I'll bring it up.
You can send your equipment ashore. We'll have it carried across the island.
Fine.
I think that's all then, Mr. Dowd. The financial arrangements have been made with Mr. Watling?
They have.
Are there any questions, Mr. Dodd?
Maybe one. How come someone that looks like you shuts herself up in a place like this? And I don't mean that feminist malarkey either. She didn't answer, just gave me a dirty look and went up on deck. It was afternoon before we got the diving equipment ashore and had our first look at the job on the other side of the island. She went with us, and so did four of her dolled-up West Indians.
That the lagoon, miss?
Yes, Mr. Millard.
Yeah, it must have been a bay once. Sandbar built up and made a lagoon.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I have some old charts of the island. It was a bay in the early 18th century.
Uh-huh.
We can bring a skiff around and get it over the bar. I imagine you can use it.
Look, Miss Linden, you want me to do the job? Okay, you let me worry about how I'm going to do it.
You'll start in the morning.
If I can, yes.
We may as well go back, if there's nothing else you want to see.
Okay. All right, let's head back.
Yeah. All right, I'll Mr.
Dowd? Yeah?
If you care to dine with me, dinner is at 7.
What about the other guys?
What about them?
Oh, I get it. Heads of the government only. No peasants. Okay. Our quarters were all right. The huts were native-made, but clean and comfortable. I began to see what she meant about the peace and happiness of the island. It was there, all around. The islanders couldn't do enough for us. But all the time, I knew we were being watched. It bothered me, but not for long. The way she looked at that dinner fixed there. And afterwards, sitting on the patio with brandy and coffee. The smell of the sea, the night, and her perfume. I was liking this job. For a girl who didn't think much of men, my employer had a funny way of showing it.
More coffee?
No, thanks. You know something? I think maybe you're human.
I'm sorry. I was rude today. You see, I make it a point to misjudge men when I meet them. Then I don't make many mistakes.
Well, you're lucky.
Men have their place. Don't misunderstand me.
I won't.
You, for instance, Mr. Dodd.
Well, thanks. Am I going to be your prime minister?
You're a very attractive man. I'm not unaware of that. But you see, it doesn't make me turn to a quivering mass of female emotions.
Yeah, I can see that.
On the other hand, I'm a normal, healthy human.
Miss Linden, how long has it been since you've been kissed?
How dare you?
Oh, come on. The dinner, all this, that perfume. Of course, if you want to make a proclamation and issue a command in triplicate, I'll wait.
You're so sure, aren't you? Arrogant, insufferable, swaggering, bumptious, insolent.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, you... Oh, stop it, stop it.
Didn't like it, huh?
You may go now.
Listen, just because some guy gave you a bad time or was after your money... Oh, I hit on one, huh? Well, that's too bad. Baby got hurt, so she runs and hides in her own little sand.
Will you get out of here or must
I'm a man, that's all right, until I start to behave like one.
If you're quite finished...
Trouble with you is you got too much money and too much time to throw it away.
And I'm quite sure that you'd be happy to relieve me of most of it, Mr. Dowd.
Honey, right now I wouldn't trade a bottle of Johnny Walker for any part of you. And after this little party, that's what I need most. You ought to be very happy you're only playing like a man. Otherwise, I'd knock your pretty teeth right down your throat. Good night. Out in the bay, I heard Cookie telling his sad story to the stars. A breeze had come up, and as I walked back to my hut, I felt something different in the air. It was quiet, but there was trouble, too. I didn't know how much until the next day.
Romance, under the direction of Norman McDonald, continues in just a moment. Have you girls who just graduated from high school made any plans for the fall? If not, why don't you visit your nearest hospital or school of nursing and inquire about the many advantages open to student nurses? Nursing is one of the finest and most popular professions among young girls, and the opportunities for graduate nurses are many.
And now for the second act of The Sword and the Knitting Needle, as we return to Romance.
The morning after we arrived, we began work, raising the old ship's bell for Elizabeth Linden. I hoped it'd be a good one, because if that's all she wanted, it was costing $2,500. We took a double ender we carried around the island, dragged her over the sandbar into the lagoon, put the air pump aboard, and we're ready. I went down first to look around. Millard and Naylor stayed topside, pumping. I hit bottom about 20 feet from the wreck.
Anything down there?
Water. Give me more line.
You got it.
Yeah, she's about a third buried. Almost on her beam ends. You'll have to haul up when I give the word.
Okay. What is she, Dan?
Hard to tell. Might be a brig from a cut.
Any cannon?
How do I know? I start heaving. About 10 feet, then stop.
Right.
I can see the bell all right. Big one.
Can you get in the cabin?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to use a torch on this baby. From the looks of it, she weighs a ton.
Want me to lower it?
Not yet. I'm coming up first. Let's go.
It wasn't going to be as easy as I thought. It'd be tricky work to cut the bell away from the frame, and it wasn't going to be any fun if it fell off the ship to the bottom. How we were going to get the bell up if and when we secured it was something else. I smoked a cigarette and thought about it. That's when Millard said...
We've been thinking, Dan. Pidge, Ed, me...
Yeah?
Suppose there's something else down there.
Such as?
Well, you know, all those stories about the old days in the Caribbean.
The pirates, treasure... Dream some more.
Why not? That hulk's ours. Right us out.
Miss Linden found it. The lagoon isn't part of the sea. It's part of her island.
Look, who's to know? So we get the bell up, and if there's anything else...
Is that what's been on your mind?
What do you say, Dan?
Anything down there belongs to her.
It doesn't...
Come on. Forget it, Pig. Just forget it. But Dan's boss on this job. Aren't you, Skipper?
I didn't like the way he smiled at me when he said that, and I knew that neither of them were forgetting anything. Well, I made a couple of more trips down to get the lay of the land and began to cut away the frame. It took a long time, and I wasn't more than half through when it got dark and time to quit. I told Miss Linden how we were getting on, which took 5 minutes, and was all that I saw of her the whole day. That evening, I ate with the peasants. We turned in early. I wanted to be up with the light, get that bell off the wreck, and start back to Miami. But I didn't sleep. Try to think of everything else, but it always came back to her. I didn't like the way he smiled at me when he said that, and I knew that neither of them were forgetting anything. Well, I made a couple of more trips down to get the lay of the land and began to cut away the frame. Took a long time, and I wasn't more than half through when it got dark and time to quit. I told Miss Linden how we were getting on, which took 5 minutes, and was all that I saw of her the whole day. That evening, I ate with the peasants. We turned in early. I wanted to be up with the light, get that bell off the wreck, and start back to Miami. But I didn't sleep. Try to think of everything else, but it always came back to her. For the first time, it bothered me. It wasn't a gag anymore. Needling her like last night. I wondered if she was awake. Crazy, spoiled kid. Remembering the color of her hair. Sound of her voice after I kissed her. That's about when the guns went off. I got into my clothes fast, but by the time I was out of my hut, two of her boys were already there. They didn't say anything, just stood and stared at me, kind of scared, until she came along.
I warned you, Mr. Dowd. I told you to tell your crew...
Take it easy. What happened?
Those three men of yours. They shot at my villages.
Why?
That's what I want to know. What were they doing? Why were they out of their huts?
Well, you think I put them up to it?
I don't know, but they're under arrest.
Well, maybe one of your boys started it. Ever think of that?
I told you that unless on the job, you were all confined to your quarters. Your crew disobeyed that order.
I'm sick of this. Who do you think you are? Either you need someone to smack some sense
in you... That's enough!
Okay. Now call off your SS boys and let's find out what's going on.
We're going to find out. And until we do, you and your crew are prisoners.
You can't do that.
Can't I? Trespassing and assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Those are man-made laws, Mr. Dowd. I admit I had a moment's weakness last night. I behaved like a woman's expected to behave. But it was a purely biological weakness. I was right about you in the first place. You're unprincipled, deceitful, and underhanded.
You're slip-showing, Miss Napoleon. Which got me nowhere, because a couple of minutes later, I joined Millard, Naylor, and Brown in what passed for the local judge. It might have been funny hearing a woman talk like that, but she wasn't kidding. And I had a nasty feeling that she wasn't doing any more than she had a right to do. It was her island, and she made the law.
Nuts, there ain't no dame in the world going to push me around.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, all right. What happened?
Well, just taking a walk.
Oh, sure, and a gun went off by accident. You may not know it, but we're in trouble, lots of trouble. Now, what happened?
Well, nobody got hit. What's the difference?
Who did it? Who fired?
Well, I did, and so did you. There was a dozen of them.
What did you go out for?
Take a look around.
Shut up, Naylor.
You want to make me?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, forget it. Well, okay, Dan. We were going across the island. I was going to take a look at the wreck.
And... you still got that treasure bug, huh?
Well, we figured if there was anything, you'd make us hand it over. So, what you didn't know.
Well, that's swell. Now what?
We're getting out of here, that's what. If she wants trouble, she's going to get it.
You figured a way to get out?
Don't worry, we will. And I'm going to get me a couple of those boys before I'm through.
Fine. Wake me up before you leave. Well, there wasn't anything else to do. I knew we were in there for the night anyway, so I went to sleep. Next morning, she sent for me. The other guys stayed where they were, and they didn't like it. I didn't either, because I had an idea when they got mad enough, they could bust out pretty easily. She was having breakfast when I told her how it happened.
That adds another charge, Mr. Dowd. If there were anything in that wreck, would it be piracy or larceny?
I don't know, but whatever you're going to do, you better make up your mind in a hurry. That cracker box you've got us in isn't going to hold them.
If they try to escape, my men have instructions to shoot.
Oh, now, look, they made a mistake. I'll take the responsibility. I'll pay a fine or whatever else you want, but don't start something you can't finish.
I will decide that.
Oh, honey.
Don't call me honey.
You know what that lawyer in Miami said about you, that Mr. Minji?
I'm not interested.
He said some man ought to drag you off by the hair, beat you for a month, and then if you turn into a normal woman, maybe marry you.
Really?
Now, look, you've had your fun.
What makes you think this is fun, Mr. Dowd? You can't believe that I'm serious about all this, can you? Your egotistical male mind can't believe it.
I'm getting sick of this. You're serious. Who are you kidding with that Gilbert and Sullivan army of yours? I know the natives around here. All they want to do is to be let alone. The only reason they haven't been hurt is because my crew isn't mad enough to cut loose. You're just itching for trouble.
You think so?
Yeah, I know your type. Spoiled, nasty brat. When you take the train, a compartment isn't good enough for you. You got to have the whole car. Well, honey, you've got to learn sometime, and now's about it.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Suppose I take that neck of yours and give it a twist, and
I don't think you will. I just have to call
you. You wouldn't have time. I can almost reach you from here. What have I got to lose?
Sit down. I have a gun.
So what? Maybe I don't believe it's only a bell down there in that ship. Maybe it's something else, something worth fighting over.
I told you it was only the bell I wanted.
All the more reason to kill you. That makes me mad.
I'm warning you. Stay away.
Go ahead, shoot.
Mr. Dowd.
Go on.
I'll call for help.
Why? You've got a gun.
Get away.
You want to play like a man? This is your big chance. You're going to kill or be killed.
You wouldn't.
Sure I would. Give me that.
Oh, no.
Now, let's come down to earth. Sure. Sure, that's better.
You don't understand. I'm crying because I hate myself for not shooting you. For being a woman.
It doesn't make me mad.
Go away. Take your crew with you. Take your boat. Go away from me.
Miss Linda, Miss Linda, they have escaped. They beat John and running me down the head and took their guns. Miss Linden, what shall we do?
It doesn't matter. Tell the others to stay out of their way.
Decline and fall of the Linden Empire. Or maybe it's like a lifesaver with only the hole left.
Please go away. Please.
After seeing the behavior of one of her elite guards, I wasn't too worried about our safety, but I was worried about theirs. So I went out to look for Millard, Naylor, and Brown. I figured they wouldn't shoot up the place just to get even, but I didn't want to take any chances. There wasn't a soul in sight as I passed through the village. I found them where I knew I'd find them, in the middle of the lagoon. Naylor and Brown pumping like mad, Millard on the bottom looking for buried treasure. Hey, the war's over. Did you find your treasure?
Jack's found something in the cabin, all right, and we're taking it with us.
Not on my boat, you're not.
No kidding, Dan. We'll cut you in. Split four ways.
You can keep it, but you'll stay on the island. I'm sailing without you.
Hey!
When I hit Nassau, I'll send a police boat out to bring you in for mutiny and piracy. So long, fellas.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Skipper. Wait.
For what?
Oh, we were only kidding. We wouldn't keep it.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. Throw your guns overboard.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Now wind up, Millard. I'm coming out. By the time I paddled the little dugout over to our double-ender, Millard was out of the diving suit, and the three of them were looking at a small chest he'd brought up with him.
What do you say, Danny? I say the girl's loaded. What's a few bucks more? Think what we could do with it, huh?
Nothing doing.
Oh. I'm sorry, Skipper. We say yes. Drop your gun.
Where'd you get that?
I got it. You want to find out if it shoots? Just try some.
Yeah.
Drop your gun.
You want to play pirate, you know what happens when we get back to the mainland.
Who said we're going? Look, this is kid stuff. What do you care about her? We don't want trouble. If a guy gets one crack in his life in a thing like this, we could all buy a dozen islands like this.
I'm not arguing. It's your deal. Go ahead. Open it up.
You're in with us?
No.
Come on, Millard, open it. Nuts to him.
Well?
Holy smoke.
Beads. There's nothing but millions of glass beads.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. What happens now?
Beads.
Well, it figures. Trade with the natives, big thing in those days. You want to give me the gun, Millard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, Skipper.
Hey, Skipper, we were only kidding.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Well, what are you going to do?
Find you 50 bucks apiece and forget it. Now, what do you say we get that bell up and head back for Miami? We got it up that afternoon. There's nothing else in the hunk except those beads. I guess whoever sank it took everything about 200 years ago. Before we left Amos Island, we got the villagers to help us put the bell up. That was Millard's idea, to kind of square things with Her Majesty and maybe me. And that's about it. Of course, I'm kind of glad about that bell. It comes in handy at certain times.
Dinner, darling, hurry up.
Be right there, Liz. And she makes a good wife. Knits, sews, cooks, has babies. Washes diapers, dishes.
Romance, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight you have heard The Sword and the Knitting Needle, specially written for Romance by Anthony Ellis, starring Hi Averback and Virginia Gregg. Featured in the cast were Ben Wright, Howard McNear, and Jack Crucian. Editorial supervision is by John Meston, and musical supervision by Alexander Courage. Next week, Romance will bring you one of Neil Peterson's most exciting stories, The China Run.
As part of CBS's extensive scheduling of important special events, tonight over most of these same CBS stations, the comedy program Meet Millie will be canceled, so you may hear an address by Defense Mobilization Chief Charles E. Wilson. Charles E. Wilson's address will be titled The Importance of Continuing Our Defense Policies. CBS invites you to hear this program next over most of these same stations. Be listening next week when Romance brings you Neil Peterson's The China Run. This is CBS, where Operation Underground is packed with thrills Tuesday night on the Columbia Broadcasting System.